Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We start a new book today, book containing various chapters under a similar topic. So today we start Kitabul Jihad, the book on Jihad. So the first chapter that we start under this book is Babu Wujubil Jihadi wa Fadlil Ghadwati wa Ruha, the chapter on the necessity for Jihad and the virtues of striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, morning and evening. Jihad is something that is necessary, it's important that it be understood, because we're living in a time and age where many people give different versions of jihad, or many people give different interpretation and different objectives of jihad. And a lot of time the enemies of Islam and those people not in the know, they have the wrong notion, or sometimes they deliberately give the wrong notion. Islam is a religion of terrorism. Islam is a religion of barbarism. Jihad is such a thing that is just there to try and kill and to hurt and to injure people. So therefore, it is important for us to know that where does jihad fit in Islam? Where does it come in? Is Islam really a religion of terrorists, of people that are extreme in their thinking? So then when we understand and we see the beauty of every aspect, like how we saw the beauty of fasting, we saw the beauty of salat, we saw the beauty of hajj, and now we're looking at the beauty of jihad, you'll find that it's such a beautiful thing. This jihad, Allah Ta'ala has made it actually a very beautiful thing. And we may ask it, how can it be beautiful? I'll give you one example. A person has got his leg that is full of gangrene. And now to save the rest of the body, what do the doctors do? They'll amputate the leg. Outwardly, to amputate, to cut somebody's leg, is not something that is some desired on its own in itself. To cut someone's leg is not desired. It may look like a very cruel thing, a very hard thing. But what you're doing, what the doctors will be doing, is they'll be saving the rest of the body. So jihad is like that, to save the rest of the people, to save the rest of mankind, to save the rest of the nation. Sometimes there will be certain elements that which jihad will have to be used. In other words, there will be certain people that will have to defend. For example, if the Muslims are being attacked, or in some cases where you have to be proactive, where there is a objective, people are objectively trying to attack Muslims, attack people, take away the rights of people. You'll require some people that will need to do active service. We may remember in the looting time that many people came out onto the streets. They're already guarding. Doesn't mean that your people were there immediately to come and rob or loot, but people were taking active steps. Now that active steps at that time was needed because to ward off that type of harm that was coming from people that were just stealing people's wealth, etc. Here jihad is used to not only protect the wealth of people, the honor of people, the rights of people, but also to protect the deen and the religion of people. Allah Ta'ala has made it a institution that helps to save the rest of mankind, helps to save the rest of people by having this type of institution. Like we explained, like how you have the procedure to amputate the foot, amputate the leg, etc. Now we don't look at it as a bad thing, as an evil thing, but it's something that was necessary to be done, therefore it was done. So when we view jihad in this light, that Allah Ta'ala has made it as a very important structure for the protection, like how people went out onto the streets, they left their homes, they went out for the protection of the people that are staying back at home. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that certain people will be coming out for the protection of deen, for the hifazat of deen, and for the protection of the honor and the respect of those that remain behind. So today we'll just do an introduction. Jihad literally means to strive. Jihad means to strive. Technically it means to strive in fighting the disbelievers. It is also used in the context of striving against carnal desires, shaitan, and the flagrant transgressors. So you get different types of jihad. One is jihad bil mal, where a person is using, he's striving with his wealth for the upliftment of the deen of Islam. One is jihad bil qalam, person is using his pen and his writing for the protection and the safety of Islam. The next is jihad ma'an nafsi wa shaitan, a person is striving against his nafs and against shaitan. The next is qital ma'al kuffar, where a person now is actively in combat against those disbelievers. And as I mentioned, it is for a very specific reason. Islam is not a religion of terrorizing and terrorism. Islam is a religion of peace. However, at certain circumstances, certain instances, it will be necessary. The next is jihad ma'al fusaq, the jihad and striving against those people that are flagrantly trying to, they may be from the Muslims, but they are trying to distort Islam, they're trying to change Islam, they're trying to bring a modern Islam, they're trying to change the actual Islam that we have. So initially, they may be considered to be from amongst the Muslims, but they are actual people that are trying to distort the deen. Now to strive against these type of people is also known as jihad. So jihad is an essential component of Islam, because there are times when the Muslims need to engage in offensive as well as defensive wars. Just as a doctor sometimes need to amputate a gangrenous limb from the body, there is sometimes a need to remove the poisonous menace of polytheism, disbelief, when these have no chance of being remedied and cured. In this context, it's also important to understand that Islam only allows those persons to be killed from amongst the enemy who are adamant on harming the Muslims, who plot to destroy Islam, and who are active in the battlefront. Women, children, the elderly, and religious leaders who do not participate in battles are not to be harmed. Look at this. Islam teaches us that we don't harm women, we don't harm children, we don't harm the elderly, we don't harm those people that are, so to speak, religious. In other words, those of the noble people, etc. We don't go unnecessarily and harm them. And look at the other hand, what's happening around the world. If you look at in Palestine and other places, they don't care whether it's children, whether it's women, whether it's innocent people, whether it's old people. Sometimes the people that are getting killed are people in hospitals, paraplegics. There's no care of it. But yet they'll point finger and say Islam is barbaric. But what we are taught, that women, children, elderly, those that are noble, the religious, etc., they are not to be killed. In fact, Islamic history teaches us that even those who were forced to fight against the Muslims were protected from Muslim hands. During the Battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded that people from the Banu Hashim were to be spared, as they were forced to participate in the battle. On other occasions, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also ordered that those who were known for their good morals and decent way of life also be spared, what we refer to as noble people. In comparison to Islamic jihad, the world wars of European nations were fought to satisfy their lust and their greed. In the process, men, women, and children were killed indiscriminately. Recently also we're hearing that hospitals were targeted, specifically targeting hospitals. Never ever heard in Islam where the people that are hurt, the people that are injured, the people that are sick, they'll indiscriminately just be killed. Look the beauty of Islam. In World War One, more than 37 million people were wounded and 8.5 million people were killed. World War Two, more than 50 million were injured. In contrast, in the 23 battles in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated, there was only fighting in 9 battles, and a total of only 1,018 lives were lost. Look what is happening in terms of the European wars, etc., fighting for ground and killing mercilessly. And look, Islam, how careful Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Muslims to be. Another of the myths and lies levels against Islam by biased European historians is that Islam was spread by the sword. This is completely false. For the first 13 years of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission, thousands of people accept Islam, despite the fact that they were most bitterly persecuted. The Muslims were being persecuted themselves. The command of Islam, the command at that time, was don't fight them. Although they were being persecuted, don't fight them. This happened for the first 13 years of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission. Let alone fighting an enemy in battle, people like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Abu Dharr, Tufail ibn Amr al-Dawsi, Najashi, the king of Abyssinia, the Christians of Najran, the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, and many others accepted Islam out of their own free will. Nobody forced these people, I just mentioned. Nobody forced them to accept Islam on their own free will. Who forced the Ansar of Medina with the sword and fought with them? Nobody. But they accepted with their own free will. Similarly, history shows that Islam spread to countries such as Malaysia without any battles being fought. The purpose of jihad, whether offensive or defensive, is for the purpose of spreading good morals, removing of obstacles in the propagation and preservation of Islam, establishment of peace and harmony in the world, and delivering the oppressed from the oppression. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Imagine if so much of oppression is taking place and everybody says, no, we must remain peaceful, we must remain apolitical, we mustn't get involved in any type of thing. What will happen if hospitals and children and babies are getting bombed and everyone say we mustn't take up arms? Then what will happen? The whole nation, the whole people, everyone will start suffering. But few people make the sacrifice and the qurbani, and then we can see the fruits. Just recently also we see the fruits of some people that were making sacrifice. Allah Ta'ala saved the whole community from getting destroyed. So there we'll see the beauty of what Islam has got, the beauty of jihad. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.